And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Do you know why we chose that name for this ministry, the Power of Prophecy? Because there were a lot of prophetic ministries out there, and some good and some not so good, but none of them had the word power in their name. And I felt like, I'm convinced that power is the operative word for prophecy of Jesus Christ. There's power in prophecy. Now, some people say, well, I don't really respect prophecy because nobody really can understand Bible prophecy. There's all those symbols and, you know, numbers, and the book of Revelation has such mysteries that really no one can really understand that. Well, maybe you can't. Maybe they can't. But I understand a lot of it. I understand everything that God wants me to understand. Maybe the fact is they don't trust it. They don't believe in it. So God doesn't give them the understanding. But he says in Daniel 12 verse 10, that in the last days the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. You see, a lot of wicked things today. My goodness, look at what's going on. Oh, it's incredible. ISIS putting Christians in cages and burning them to death and cutting off the heads of people and, oh. But these are understandable. The Bible says these things are going to happen to Christians. The world hates you. You know, a lot of people say, Tex, that's the problem with your ministry. You preach that Jesus is the only way, and we don't. We're a loving group. We love everybody. And yeah, well, there's your problem. Jesus does not love everybody. You say, what? That's right. He doesn't love all these people that are out there murdering and killing. What are you talking about? He doesn't love them at all. He despises their acts. They're evil. And he calls on everyone to repent. And if they don't repent, God doesn't love them. He sends them to hell. Oh. Oh. He does? Oh, yes, he does. And if you don't believe that Jesus is God, you'll go there too. I've been around quite a while, but anyone who has kept up with Power of Prophecy Ministries knows that I don't change. I'm still the same. Had a good friend the other day. I met at a grocery store. I was with Wanda shopping, and he said, "You still got your ministry, Tex?" I said, "Oh, sure." "You still preaching the same thing?" I said, "Well, what is there? There's only one religion in the world. There's only one God, and I preach him all the time." And of course, he says, "Well, there's so much more out there in the world." "Really?" "Oh, yes. My wife and I go to a Unity church now." "Well, so you don't believe in Jesus?" "Oh, I believe in him, but of course I believe in Buddha and, you know, and sometimes," he says, "sometimes we go to the Buddhist temple here." And I said, "Well, you don't have anything then. You're just like the Freemasons." You know, Albert Pike, the Sovereign Grand Commander, talked about the leaping goat, Baphomet. Oh, yeah. You're just leaping from place to place, so mixed up, so confused. But don't worry. Don't worry. You'll be straightened out. It's appointed for us all to die, and afterward comes the judgment. Everyone's going to die. Except the Christian, they'll live on. They'll live on. But all the others will go to judgment. You see, Christians will not be judged because Jesus wipes out the judgment. He wipes out all of our sin, all the stain, and makes us white as snow. We don't have a thing to worry about. Not a thing. But this gentleman, he's going to learn a lot from going to Unity and Unitarians and all these other Buddhists and all these other false religions. He's going to learn a lot. But you can't learn about all of the New Age cults and false religions. You know, I've written a book. It's entitled Tex Mars' Book of New Age Cults and Religions. I've updated it a couple years back, and it's great. It's a great book. It's over 300 pages, and I'm going to offer it to you today. In fact, I'm going to talk to you about a couple of false religions. I call them counterfeit religions. And sometimes they claim to be Christian, but I'm going to let you be the judge of that. See, I think I have the smartest audience in the world. You're smart. But more than being smart, that doesn't really count a lot. You know, I've taught at 3 universities. I've met hundreds of professors. They're smart guys too. Some of them are smart alecks, but but they're smart. I mean, I don't have any doubt at all that they're smart, that they're intelligent, that they're free thinkers. But really, they're deficient. They're deficient in one area. They don't know God. And that sets you way, way back, my friends. On the other hand, I have a lot of friends who don't even have a college degree, some of them don't even have high school diplomas. They're my friends, and they're really, really super smart. Let me tell you why. They're wise because they know God. God will make you so smart that the world will shrink in comparison. You don't understand that, huh? I've told you the story before about the man that came to see me, and he was in desperation, and his wife left him and ran off with her soulmate. She said a spirit guide from, you know, hundreds of years ago came to her and told her that she was to leave her husband and run off with his soulmate.
Oh, sure.
She says she had him in a different marriage way back when she was in a different reincarnation. And now she's met him and she wanted to go back to him. And so she said, you know, this spirit guide told me to leave you and go with this other gentleman. Well, I'm speaking gentleman, you know, I'm being nice to the guy. So he suddenly got quite nervous and upset and disturbed because his wife had left him for her eternal soulmate. He told me, I didn't know what to do. I was crushed. I wanted to kill myself. And by the way, I didn't mention the fact that he had a PhD. Very smart man. Very intelligent. But here he was, crushed. Alone. Lonely. He didn't have God in his life. Didn't know what to do. He was thinking of killing himself. His wife had left him for her soulmate. He said, but Tex, let me tell you what happened to me. I was referred to a guy they said could help me. See, he said, I went to all my friends. I said, well, I need help. I need help. I need somebody to tell me what to do. Only one of them said, well, I have somebody tell you what to do, but it's going to be different than you think. That this man knows a lot and he can assist you. So I said, well, give me his name. Is he Dr. So-and-so or Dr. You know, we have a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists here in Central Texas. Well, which one is he? Who is the doctor? He's not a doctor. He's a motorcycle mechanic. Now, he didn't look like much. Got a lot of grease on his hands. His hair is not even combed. And every day he works on these motorcycles and he gets all greasy and... But he's the kind of guy that you need. He knows what to do. He'll tell you what to do. We thought about it a little bit, and he says, well, the man's under me. I mean, he's a subordinate to me. I mean, he's not very smart. He's surely, I mean, he probably doesn't even have a bit of college, but I'm desperate. So he went to the motorcycle shop and said, you know, is Sammy here? And I said, yeah, he's back in the back there. And he ran to the back of the motorcycle shop, and there was a guy working on the motorcycle. He said, are you Sammy? He says, yes. I need your help. I need it desperately. Well, Sammy says, well, I'm working on this motorcycle now. I need to get it finished by 3 p.m. today. And then he looked at the guy and he could tell he was desperate. He was right on the verge of killing himself. He was desperate. But he wore his nice suit and all, you know. I told you, he's a PhD. He's a very smart man. So Sammy said, but I can take off a little while and talk to you. Let's go outside here. All this, all these noisy motorcycles going and everything. Let's just walk around to the, you know, to the side of the shop here and let's talk. So the man told me everything that happened to him about his wife leaving and everything, and motorcycle mechanic, he sort of looked up at the sky and looked at the guy in his face. He said, I know somebody can help you. I can tell you about them. They can definitely help you. He said, well, who? Tell me. He said, Jesus. And so he prayed with him. This guy said, Tex told me in the counseling session I had been to, Tex, I changed my life. I got over that woman fast. And God told me what to do. I'm now talking to other people about Jesus coming to my life. Jesus changed me. And all it took was a motorcycle mechanic. That impressed me. You know, I've met hundreds and hundreds of New Agers. And the religions they're in, and they're so confused and they're so mixed up. And some of them think they're happy for a while, but really they go from false cult to false cult. Always looking for some kind of a happy thing. I remember I met the witch that switched. That was her name. I think it was actually her name was Eileen, but they called her the witch that switched because she switched to Christianity. She said, I was the head witch of the state of Florida. And we used to do spells against Christians. And we hated God. And all the witches in the state of Florida listened to what I had to say, but I was not happy, she said. I worship Baphomet. I worship Pan, the god of the forest. I worship the devil. But I wasn't happy. She said, the devil made me hungry, hungry for truth. And I kept struggling, trying to find out what was the truth. And so I kept doing these rituals and so forth. But I never was happy. I was always hungry. I was always hungry. And I was desperate. And then I came to Jesus. And boy, when I knew Jesus, I got into something great. And you know, I was fulfilled then. I was satisfied. And she wrote a book. Yeah, I don't know if you can get it at the bookstores today. This was quite a while ago, but her book was entitled The Witch That Switched. Oh, I've met a lot of people. I met a witch, of course, that didn't switch. I was on a TV program with her up in the Northwest, up in Seattle, I believe it was. And we got there and the TV guy was asking me why I was against witchcraft, and she began to say, oh, Tex Mars is just like all the other Christians. You know, they persecuted the witches for hundreds of years. The Christians are terrible. So he asked me, have you been persecuting the witches? I said, I just tell the truth about them. I don't persecute them. She said, oh, yes, you do. You know, you say I worship the devil. And I'm a witch. I worship nature. I said, wait just a minute. You're a witch? She says, yes, I am. And you've been persecuting me for hundreds of years. I said, well, you don't look over 50, but I can't have been persecuting you for hundreds of years. But anyway, I said, I know that you worship Pan, the horn god of the forest. And she looked at me sort of surprised. And you worship the great goddess. That's two personal gods right there. So what do you mean you worship nature? Well, yeah, we worship Pan, but he's not the devil. Oh, really? He has horns. He has hoofed feet like a goat. He lives out in the forest and you have a ritual and you worship him. Well, yeah, that's the devil. I said, that's the name of your, what are you talking about? Pan is the devil. That's another name for him. And she was shocked. She had been for years trying to embarrass Christian, going on these talk shows, and she just knew so much more than everybody else, but she didn't know more than Tex Mars. I studied witchcraft. I knew. In fact, in this book, Tex Mars' Book of New Age Cults and Religions, I've got a section here on witchcraft. In fact, I cover over 100 major cults and religions, all New Age, which is basically Kabbalistic religion. I'll tell you about New Age a little later on. Go out and study the Jewish Kabbalah, the same one that the Talmud people, the Jewish religion, Judaism, they have the same book, the Zohar and such. You see, there are books of Kabbalah, and they're part of Judaism religion. And they're the foundation for every New Age cult and false religion in the world. That's right. Study the Kabbalah and you will know all about Freemasonry. You will know all about, well, everything. Let me give you some of the names of the groups, and they're all based on the Jewish Kabbalah. What does that tell you about Judaism? There's Sanat Kamara. There's Scientology. The Self-Realization Fellowship, Share International, the Silva Method, the Sirius Community, Sri Aurobindo, Swedenborgianism, the Temple of Set, Theosophy, there's the Unity Church, Urantia, World Goodwill, Baha'i, the Arcane School, the Church of Religious Science, that sounds great, doesn't it? Uh-huh. The Dalai Lama, the Druids, Ekankar, the Fellowship of Isis, the Finhorn Foundation, there's Hare Krishna, Hinduism, Institute of Noetic Sciences, Krishnamurti, the Mayan Order, the Mormons, of course, we'll talk about them more in a minute, Native American Indian cults and religions, oh yeah, that's all New Age, and I can go on and on here. There's Ramtha, the Rosicrucians, there's the, listen to this one, it sounds so good, Academy for Future Science, oh sure. There's Adelphi, there's Anthroposophy, there's Ananda. Oh, there's all kinds of New Age religions, counterfeit religions. And I wanted you to know that. That's why I wrote this book. I have a lot of different information and facts in this book, and I want you to know what really is the New Age versus true Christianity. You see, there's a lot of Christianities out there. I'll tell you, I once did an audio tape. It's entitled 1001 Jesuses. 1001 Jesuses. Did you know that many in the world? 1001. But the question is, have you met the true one? Oh, you're going to learn about something today. Freemasonry says, well, we worship Jesus. And the Mormons say, we have Jesus. And the Jehovah's Witnesses says, we have Jesus. But I'm going to ask the question, do they really have Jesus? Well, you'll see. Let's talk about some of these counterfeit religions in my book here. And you tell me, if you're a Christian particularly, you'll know. You'll understand. You see, if you're a Christian, then God has chosen you out of this world. All these over 100 major New Age cults and religions, they're out there, but you'll understand why they're not of God. And let me tell you, I know about Jesus. The Bible tells about him. You don't have to ask who Jesus is. The Bible will tell you. And a gentleman one time said, I can't understand the Bible. Well, then ask the Holy Spirit. If you got the Holy Spirit, he said, I've prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart as well. If God accepted you, then you'll know. You'll know because the Holy Spirit will instruct you. The Holy Spirit, my friends, does not leave you holding a nothing, a nothing bag or a nothing box. It instructs you. You're filled up by the Holy Spirit. And you have entered the kingdom of God if you're a Christian. And the kingdom of God is not something that you're going to receive tomorrow. You're going to receive it immediately upon knowing Jesus Christ. That's the good news. I got a letter just yesterday from a gentleman. He said, I heard your sermon here on the Power of Prophecy a couple of weeks back, and it changed my life. I had no idea I was in the kingdom. I was looking forward to, I knew I was going to die someday. He's about 60 years old, and he says, and I said, well, I want to go to the kingdom when I die. And then you come on the radio and say, are you in the kingdom right now? The Jews said, who are you? How are you able to do all these miracles? And Jesus said, that's right, I've done miracles. The sick walk, the blind have received their sight. I've even raised the dead. And if I've done all these things, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Ooh. They didn't expect that answer, did they? If I have done all these things, and he had, they couldn't deny it. Many have seen them with their own eyes. If you have seen these things, if I have accomplished these things, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Wow. A lot of people tell me, especially Baptists, say, someday I want to receive the kingdom. Right? Let's get on your knees. Right now is the time, my friend. Don't wait. Don't wait. Well, I'm not in the kingdom. This world is so evil and so terrible, and I want to leave this world and go off into the kingdom. Hey, friend, you can be in the kingdom right in this world. And by the way, I've had many people tell me, why aren't you dead? You take a stand on all these things, the world conspiracy. You got books exposing various religions. And they must all hate you. And I said, oh, absolutely. Many of them have written me letters saying you're going to be a dead man and we're going to whack you. I think they call it whacking. And that's not hitting with a paddle, friends. That's with a bullet. And homosexual groups have called me up and said, we're right down the street from you and we're going to come into your ministry and do you in. We're going to be your worst nightmare. Well, Jerry here in the studio, he took that phone call that day. He said, well, come on down. Come right on. You're going to be our worst nightmare. Come on. Well, they never showed up. I don't know. I never showed up. Let me tell you something, my friends. I don't doubt that the people who belong to the devil can do great damage to Tex Mars. I don't doubt that they're stronger than I am. They're stronger than Jerry, and Jerry's a pretty powerful guy. During football season, he referees these top-notch, high school games. And, Texas has the best high school football in the world, they say. Some people would doubt that or debate it at least, so I'm not going to debate it. I used to play football when I was a young man in high school. I was always on the second string, though. I never really made it to the A team, I was on that top team, but I played in they didn't call me until I think they were 50 points ahead. Then they let me play. Oh, I tell you. Well, the thing is, here's the reason why the devil hasn't been able to get to me. Because I have a bodyguard. I have a great bodyguard. Jesus has sent some angel to me. Now, I don't worry about his name. I just praise Jesus, and Jesus takes care of it all. And the devil can't touch me, and I go right on. Sometimes I'm at home at night, and there's some strange sound. I check it out. There doesn't seem to be anything there, but it's just, they're making some noise or something. I don't know what it is. My friends say, well, maybe somebody's trying to break into your house, or somebody's trying. Well, I just bow my head and ask God to help me and keep me safe, and he does. And I feel sorry for anybody who exposes these conspiracies and these false religions because they're so powerful and they're so evil, and they'll do you in. And they've got lawyers of the IRS and boy, the FBI, and they've all visited me here in this ministry. Had the IRS come down and audited us for 5 years, didn't find one thing. They wasted their time, wasted my time too. The IRS came down to see me and, I said, by what authority are you doing these things? The IRS asked me, by what authority? So I pointed to I started to pick it up. I said, well, this Bible right here, that's my authority. Oh no, well don't read us from the Bible. We don't want to talk about that. Well, that's where my authority comes from. Well, I don't want to talk about that. He actually got frightened. This is the thing. They're frightened of the word of God. They tremble. Devils know. Read in the Bible, the Acts of Jesus. Read about the the Gadarene, the man who he was insane. He was a crazy man. He ripped his clothes off and would cry and scream in horrible yells at and walk around at night among the tombstones in the cemetery and cry out in pain. And they tried to chain him, and he broke the chains. They tried to put ropes around him, and he broke the ropes. And then one day Jesus came up. Jesus came walking up with his friends, the disciples. And he had never met this guy before, the crazy man in the tombs. He had never met him before. But the man recognized Jesus. The demons inside him had been evidently in heaven before they were cast out as devils, and they recognized Jesus, and they were shocked and they were alarmed. And the demons in the man cried out, "Son of God, Jesus, Son of God, why have you come to torture us before our time?" They thought Jesus had come to torture them, to torment them. And they knew they had no weapon that could prosper against Jesus Christ. And they cried out, "Why have you come to torment us before our time?" And Jesus commanded of them, "What is your name?" And they said, "Our name is Legion, for we are many." Their name was Legion. That's many. And they had possessed this man. And he was so crazy that none could restrain him. And then the spirits in the man, the evil spirits, said to Jesus, they could tell he was going to do something. Oh boy. He's going to torment us. He's going to cast us out of this man. And they said, "If you cast us out, don't cast us out into the air. Let us go to, there's a bunch of pigs over there. Pigs. You know, I guess some farmer had a pig, these pigs or something. There's a bunch of them out there in the field. Let us enter those pigs." That'd be better than being out and walking in dry places and having no one to possess. "Please, please cast us into those pigs," they begged Jesus. And Jesus gave them what they wanted. He cast them out of the man, and they immediately went into those pigs. And then the pigs went nuts. They went crazy. And they stampeded. And there was a huge ledge right there, and they went right over the ledge down into the rocky waters below, and they all perished. They all died. But the man was saved. He had no devils in him. He wasn't foaming at the mouth anymore. He wasn't tearing. And at night he had actually taken stones, sharp stones, and he had made cuts in his body. Do you know people that do that today? Have you seen them, these young ladies? And they stay at home at night and they cry and they cut themselves in their legs or in their arms. And you ask them, "Why are you cutting yourself? Why are you harming yourself?" And they don't know. They're just so unhappy because they've got devils in them. Well, Jesus took care of that man. He cast out the devils. Now this book, Tex Mar's Book of New Age Cults and Religions, talks about these devil religions. And I want to tell you, I'm writing a book now on Freemasonry. You wait till you read it. Those are devils. Oh, they're devils. They're going to be mad at me when I write that book. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them right now. I write about them in this book too, Freemasonry. In Tex Mar's Book of New Age Cults and Religion, you get this book, you'll learn about Freemasonry. You'll learn about Mormonism. You'll learn about Jehovah's Witnesses. You'll learn about witchcraft. You'll learn about the Church of Satan and all these New Age devilish cults and counterfeits. I'm going to take a little break now. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll just give you, maybe about 30 minutes of this. Because I know you probably remember that Governor Romney talking about his Mormonism, and he was a high priest of Mormonism. He was the devil is what he was. We'll talk about Mormonism and more when we return. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars again. I want to talk about my book, Tex Mars' Book of New Age Cults and Religions. It's, 350 pages or so. Got a beautiful cover on it. And it talks about the Bibles of the New Age. You know, they have Bibles. They call them Bibles. And there's principles. You put all the New Agers together and they believe basically the same thing. And starting on, let's see, page 46, I list all of the teachings of these New Age counterfeit religions. And then on the right side, I contrast the Bible teachings. And it's amazing the difference. You want to know what the New Age is? Well, first learn what the Bible is, and you'll see the difference. For example, about Jesus. The New Age teaching number 5 says Jesus was a God, a Christ, a perfect master, a man who earned his divinity, a perfected man, a messenger of God, a prophet of God. He was as much God as are all of us. But now the Bible says Jesus is, was, and forever shall be God Almighty, the one true God, and there is no other beside him. Well, that's quite a bit different, isn't it? The Bible says Jesus created all things. The Bible says that he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are eternally one. They cannot be separated ever. There is but one Godhead. Jesus is the only Christ. Wow. I like number 6. The New Age says, man must take responsibility for his problems and forgive himself. Have you ever heard all these psychiatrists and psychologists? You must forgive yourself. They say there's no one outside of man to whom we must plead for forgiveness. There's no one outside of ourselves who can forgive us. So we have to forgive ourselves. But the Bible says a loving God can forgive your sins, can cleanse you. And this same God offers man the free gift of salvation. It's free. You don't need to save yourself. You cannot save yourself. Call on God and you'll be saved. I like that. I've said this before, but I want to say it again. I've been to churches where people are praying and they call out for God. They're in their pew and suddenly they raise their hands and they begin to cry out to God. They're so sincere. Their heart is broken and they cry out, God, save me. And I want to tell you something. Before the words are out of their mouth, I think God is already there. I think God is right there. God's ready to save them. God, no, he knew they were going to call out to him. And he saves them. He probably knew they were going to go to church that night. He knew they were going to pray. He knew. In fact, God knows that you're one of his people before you were ever born. He already knew you. Now, a lot of folks just deny that. I can't believe that. Before I was ever born from my mother's womb, God knew me. Yes, he did. Isn't that wonderful? That's why you get saved, because God called you. A lot of people say, well, you know, I have free will. I prayed and asked him to come into my heart, and he came into my heart. Well, let me tell you something, friends. I understand you have some degree of free will, but listen. You wouldn't be calling on God unless God called you first. That's a strange thing, isn't it? See, God knows that you want him, that you need him, that you're going to be his faithful servant. You're going to obey him, and you're going to be happy, and you're going to be a Christian, and so he calls you. And you thought it was all you're doing, didn't you? But he already knew you. He knew you were going to call on him. He knew Judas was going to betray him before the world ever began. He knew Judas would betray him. And he said it would be better if he had never been born, Jesus said. It would have been better if he were never even born. Boy, poor Judas. Some people say, oh, that's terrible. Judas never had a chance. You mean before he was born, God knew he was going to betray him? And so really, he couldn't have been good. He had to betray Christ. That was his destiny. That was his fate. Yes, it was. God knew his destiny before Judas was ever born. Some say, well, wait just a minute. Then we can't blame Judas. He's not at fault, is he? Yes, he is. But if you're called of God and God calls you, then be happy about it. Be thrilled about it. You're one of the few. Many are called, but few are chosen. He chooses you. See, some he calls, but they won't accept him. So we read in the book of Revelation that Jesus tells his angels, go out into all the highways and the byways and find people. Go out and find, and he tells them who to go to see and who to get. And then, you know, he has a great banquet feast, and some show up that shouldn't be there. They say, I'm saved. I'm going to that feast. I'm going to go to the great feast. I'm going to be there. But they don't have any garments. They don't wear the right things. They don't have that white linen, you know, Jesus talks about. And when they get there to the feast, they say, my name is such and such. I should be here. And the master looks at them and says, nobody invited you here. You've come in the wrong place. And he tells his servants, get rid of this man. Kick him out. He doesn't belong here. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then you'll really be upset. It'll be too late. A lot of people like that. A lot of people like that. They don't trust God. They don't believe in God. But they think they're fit for the kingdom of heaven. No, they're not. And they're going to find out. Anyway, so much for this book. And I want you to have this book. It's just $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling. It's called New Age Cults and Religions. Please order it today. You really need it. You might want to give it to your pastor. This book was, I think the Christian Book Club at one time offered it. It was everywhere. I think it was in the top 10 of Christian books. And I want you to have it. Just $25. It'll take care of shipping and handling and all that. And please send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Again, that's Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. We've been here, oh, I don't know, 30 years or so. Can you imagine that, Jerry? Been here 30 years. Wow. And Jerry, you've been here how long? How many years there? 18 years. He's getting old. He's got gray hair, got a big old tummy, and he's relatively nice looking guy. I'm just teasing him. I'm the one that's got the gray hair and all. But oh, we have fun. Yeah. Okay. By the way, you can go to my website, powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com and type in this book on the search engine there. They call it search engine. And type in, you know, the title of the book, New Age Cults and Religions, and it'll tell you how to order it using your charge card or your PayPal card or whatever. Get it today. We have plenty of copies. We'll send it right off to you. Okay? All right. Is there anything? Oh, yes, the phone. You can use your phone. Jerry's telling me I've forgotten about the phone. The phone, of course, is 1-800-234. See how easy it is? 1-800-234-9673. By the way, that's 1-800-234-WORD, W-O-R-D. But let me give you the number because a lot of people, you know, they dial zero for word. So it's 1-800-234-WORD. Word or 9673. All right, now let's return to our regular program. And we're talking about the counterfeit religions of New Age cults and religions. Let's go first to, there's so many in here. Freemasonry on page 198. I talk about Freemasonry. You know, Freemasons claim to be a Christian, but it's really strange because, you see, I've been in all these overseas countries, and you see all kind of Masonic lodges. You see them over in Iraq. You see Masonic lodges in Israel. There are Masonic lodges throughout Europe. They're over in Japan. They have a lodge. In fact, Albert Pike, who was the former Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry, by the way, they call it Freemasonry because it's for free men. Oh, yeah. You're a free man. Baloney. But anyway, that's what they call Freemasonry. He says that Masonry is a religion. Indeed, it's the one true world religion which all men can assemble around. All men. Are you a Muslim? Well, you can be a Mason. Are you a Japanese Shintoist worshiper? You can be a Mason. In fact, Pike, listen to what he writes in his book, Morals and Dogma. Pike says, Masonry, around whose altars the Christian, the Hebrew, the Muslim, the Brahmin, the followers of Confucius and Zoroaster can assemble as brethren and unite in prayer to the one God. The initiate, whoever he is, whatever nation, will look for the foundations of his own faith and the written scriptures of his own religion. Why? If you're over in, let's say, Syria, and you go to the Masonic Lodge there, and they have Masonic Lodges in Syria, they have an altar, and they have the Quran. Whoa, the Quran, not the Holy Bible. Because Pike believes that it doesn't matter which religion ascribes, the person ascribes, it doesn't matter. You can be a Muslim, you can be a follower of Confucius. You can even worship the Persian god Zoroaster. In fact, you can go all the way back to Egypt. Remember Osiris, Horus, the all-seeing eye god? Why? Pike says that you can worship Osiris. Now, you can also worship Lucifer. Isn't that nice? Manly P. Hall, a 33rd degree Freemason. They call him the greatest Masonic scholar of the 20th century. He died about 10 years ago. But he worked all the way up to the 33rd degree. And he wrote a book called The Lost Keys of Freemasonry. And he admitted in that book that there's another God. You see, they call the God of Freemasonry the grand architect of the universe. Well, you know, God is not an architect. He's the creator. Now, an architect takes materials that are already there and, fashions them into something. He does blueprints and so forth. But the creator creates things from nothing. You can tell the God is a lot different than the grand architect of the universe. Well, Hall says that, you see, the Mason has a key. And it's one of the lost keys of Freemasonry. He says the key is a dynamo of living power. You got living power. If you're a Mason, that God that you worship has living power. That God is named Lucifer. Oh, yeah. He says this, quote, the seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands. And before the Mason can step onward and upward, he must prove his ability to properly apply this energy. Oh, Lucifer has energy for you. You can apply it. So Lucifer is indeed the god of Freemasonry. Think about that. You know, I've debated several Masons before, and they all say Lucifer is a good angel. He's not the devil. Remember the Mason who said, well, we worship a god, Pan, the horn god of the forest, but that's not the devil. I debated another New Ager here on KLBJ radio here in Austin, Texas. She said, we have God within. I said, what is the name of your God? Well, he doesn't have a name, she said. I said, your God doesn't have a name? No, he doesn't have a name. Well, I know your God, I said. I know he has a name. She looked at me sort of shocked. You know my God? Yes, I do. His name is Lucifer. Oh, that's not my God. Oh, really? Well, yeah, that's a wonderful angel, but that's not my God. Oh, really? He's just an angel. Boy. You know, there's a book out entitled A Bridge to Light. It's written by a 33rd degree Mason, Rex Hutchins. Now, in A Bridge to Light, he says that when you get up to the 32nd degree, you discover that any Trinity will do. For example, there's the Trinity of the Hindu religion. You can worship them. That's okay. It's the same thing. Sort of like when I was on a talk show up in Chicago, lady called in and says, "You don't understand our Hindu religion." I said, "I don't." She said, "No." I said, "Well, tell me about it. I think I understand it pretty good." I said, "You have millions of gods and goddesses. Millions. Oh, but they're all the same God. They just have different names." I said, "Hey, listen. You even worship Kali, the snake goddess. The cobra goddess." "Yes, but we also worship Krishna, and we worship..." And she went on about three or four. I said, "You even worship the rat goddess." I thought it would turn her on a little bit. She said, "Yes, we do. But he's all the same God." I said, "Well, I'm going to let you have the rat goddess and the snake, the rat god and the snake goddess." I said, "We don't really like the rats and the snakes. Our God is pure. Our God is named Jesus." "Oh, yes, Jesus." She said, "He's one of 3 million gods." "Oh, yeah, sure." "Yes, yes. The Hindu, not very many Hindus worship Jesus, but a few do." "Yes, a few do, Boy, what can I say? Well, now, some of them say, we're not a religion. We're not a religion. We are religion. Now, think about that. I had to think about it a little bit, about 1 minute. They say we're not a religion. We are religion. You see, they say there's hundreds of religions in the world, but Freemasonry incorporates all of them into one. There you go. You can be a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist. You can be anything. You can even be a fake Christian. Many fake Christians in Freemasonry. One man wrote to me one time and said, "I'm a 32nd degree Mason, and you're lying about what Freemasonry stands for. We worship Jesus." I said, "Really?" So I wrote him back and I said, "Your Masonic monitors," that's these guidebooks, "say very clearly that the name of Jesus is prohibited in the lodge." "Well, yes, we can't say his name during the lodge rituals, but we can talk to him after we leave the lodge." "Wait just a minute. I can talk about my Jesus, my God, anywhere I want. I can go to church. I can go outside of church. I can go to a restaurant. I can be in my bedroom. I can be anywhere and talk about my God, Jesus." "Well, we don't want to confuse people in Freemasonry." "Well, why don't you want to confuse them? How would you confuse them?" "Well, you see, some people believe in, you know, Allah, Muhammad, and some people believe in this God or that God. And we let them worship the way they want to in the lodge." "But Jesus said, if you don't believe that I'm the true God, you'll die in your sins." "Ooh, well, that's in your Bible. That's not in any Masonic textbook that I know of." I said, "Well, that's the problem." "That's it. You don't worship Jesus." "Oh, yes, I do." I said, "Listen, you know, you're trying to deceive people. Your Masonic monitors say that you don't believe in any sectarian religion. That's a religion that believes in one God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I am sectarian." "Oh, well, then you couldn't be a Mason," he says. I said, "Exactly, because I believe that only Jesus is Lord." "Oh, well, now we don't go along with that. We don't care what religion you have, you see. But you can't say that Jesus is the only God." He wasn't a Christian, folks. He thought he was. I suppose he'll be one of those that on Judgment Day, he stands before Jesus Christ and say, "I was such a good Mason. I brought other men into Freemasonry. I made them better men." Why? When they had funerals, they even had a funeral. We even gave them a Masonic funeral. Of course, in Masonic funerals, we don't mention the name of Jesus. But still, he had a funeral.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. And during his funeral, we sent our brother to the celestial lodge in the sky. Where's that at? I think Satan is there. He's head of the celestial lodge. He is the power of the air. That's what the Bible says, the power of the air. He's the head of the celestial lodge. That's where you sent your Masonic brother.
Boy.
Now, let me read to you from page 312 of A Bridge to Light. A Bridge to Light was published by the Supreme Mother Council of Scottish Rite Freemason. That's the largest Masonic group in the world. And this book, published by the Masons, an official book, an official textbook, authoritative, says of the 32nd degree, we find in the ritual a recitation of the beliefs of the Hindus of India. So the Hindu, that's what you recite for your ritual. You worship the Trinity of India. It says, on page 316, we find that the 32nd degree candidate worships the supreme deity. And the supreme deity is composed of a trinity of three gods, all Hindu, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So there you are. There you are. You learn of a trinity. You're almost at the top. You're in the 32nd degree. It only goes to the 33rd degree, which is an honorary degree. And you learn that the true trinity is Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Well, I didn't have to become a Mason to know that. I could just go join some Hindu guru sect. He had told me that. So the Hindu religion and Freemasonry is for purposes of religion is all one religion. So is Freemasonry Christian? Obviously not. Now, there's something called the Masonic Handbook. Now, read it, but I want to quote it from you. Here's an astonishing statement in the Masonic Handbook. This is in my book now, New Age Cults and Religions. Here's what it says. Quote, whether you swear or take God's name in vain does not matter so much. What? That's what it says. Whether you swear or take God's name in vain does not matter so much. Of course, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't amount to much. Man, that's what it says here in the Masonic Handbook. But let's go to the Holy Bible. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 48. And here's what it says. Listen to this. Jesus said, he that rejecteth and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last days. And then Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11 says this, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And one of the Ten Commandments is that we should not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. And what is his name? Jesus Christ. But the Masonic Handbook says whether you swear or take God's name in vain doesn't matter so much. Well, I guess they'll find out someday, won't they, my friends? Albert Pike, all these evil people. I could tell you more about Freemasonry, but let's go over here to another religion. We've only got a few more minutes. So let's talk a little bit about, Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in Jesus Christ. Well, they believe there is a Jesus. And they say that really Jesus is Michael, the archangel. You can either call him Michael or Jesus. Seems they're confused, doesn't it? They say, here's a quote from their little book that I have about Jehovah's Witnesses. I wanted to learn about him, you see. And I went to him and I asked Jehovah's Witnesses, give me all of your literature. Oh, yes, we're glad to do that. They were shocked that I would actually go to them and say, give me all of your literature. I want to know about you. Oh, we've got a sucker, don't they? We've got a sucker born every minute. Well, I read their literature. I gave them a fair shot. Here's what their literature says. It says Jesus Christ will not be the only king of God's government. He will have many co-rulers with him in heaven. That's from the book, What Do Jehovah's Witnesses Believe? They say Jesus is going to be one of many gods. He's really Michael, the archangel. That's why they call Jehovah's Witnesses, not Jesus' Witnesses. They're basically a Kabbalistic Judaic cult. A Kabbalistic Judaic cult. By the way, here they say, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that God is greater than Jesus. They believe that God is greater than Jesus. Well, hey, Jesus and God are the same one. We do not believe that Jesus is equal with the Father. We believe he was created by God and that he is subordinate to God.
Oh, boy.
Hey, let's go here now to another false religion, the Mormons. What do they teach? Well, they believe in Jesus, but it's a different kind of Jesus. In fact, Lucifer was his blood brother. Whoa! Lucifer was his blood brother, and Adam is the God for man. Adam, they say Lucifer did Adam and Eve a favor. That's what the Mormons say. He set them on the road to godhood, and you can be a god too. And you can have innumerable wives in your own planet. How about that? That beats the Islam religion. The Israel, well, they say you got, what, 78 virgins to be your wives? Of course, I feel sorry for the virgins, but, you know, that's, what can I say? I guess after you use up the 78 virgins, I don't know how many nights it's going to take. They'll give you 78 more. I don't, it doesn't really say that. So you only get 78. Don't use them all up, buddy. But the Mormons say we have many more than that. You can have thousands of gods and goddesses. In fact, Jesus was married to many. Had a Mormon named Troy Lawrence tried to convince me that Mormonism is correct, and he sent me his book. And it says that Jesus had many goddesses, had many wives. And he said, you can be a Mormon too. You can have many wives, Tex. But of course, you have to believe in our prophet, Joseph Smith. And you have to believe in the mother in heaven. Oh, there's a mother in heaven. Now, the New Testament and the Old Testament, they say, are flawed. They have flaws in them, problems. But there's a Book of Mormon, another New Testament, given by some angel named Moroni, which people call actually Moroni, but, you know, I try to pronounce it right. They say Jesus was married, and the Bible proves that he was, when he converted water to wine, that was at his own wedding. That doesn't say that in the Bible. They just claim that it does. Oh, boy. Basically, Mormonism is a Masonic religion. That's right. Joseph Smith was a Mason, and he took the things of Masonry, you know, the initiation, all the symbols, the magic underwear. You get some magic underwear when you're a Mormon. Guess what? Has all these Masonic symbols on it. So you go to bed every night in your magic underwear with all these Masonic symbols. Boy, that the devils like that, don't they? Look, that idiot, he's wearing Masonic symbols on his underwear. That's Mormons for you. Oh, I wish you had more time, Dave, because these cults are something else. You know, they really are. Listen, my friends, Jesus is true. Jesus is God. Jesus created this earth, and Jesus loves you and me. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have all these false religions, false teachings, but we have Jesus, and it's great. I'm so glad that you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, write to us. We'll tell you how to be saved. You can be saved, and you'll live forevermore. That's God's promise. That's your inheritance, my friends. What a glorious inheritance it is. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. And my prayer, my hope is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.